Hey guys, I'm happy to announce a partnership with Reformation Heritage Books. Do you want to start reading the Puritans but just don't know where to begin? Puritan Treasures for Today from Reformation Heritage Books makes the riches of these godly writers of old accessible for the modern reader. With updated language and helpful instructions, these classic works from John Owen, Jeremiah Burroughs, and more are the perfect starting point for the curious reader. Learn more about the Puritan Treasures for Today at heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Use coupon code SHEPHERDS for 10% off your order. That's heritagebooks.org/puritantreasures. Coupon code SHEPHERDS. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. All right, welcome back to the podcast. I want to remind you of a couple things. You just heard the ad for Reformation Heritage Books. Go ahead and check that out. You can get Puritan Treasures for Today for $63. They're on sale for $70. And then you can use the coupon code at Shepherds for 10% off. If you want to check that out, that's good for anything in the store. So if you need a commentary set, you need some resources for the next series you're preaching, go ahead and check that out. I also want to remind you about Rise Nutrition. You guys will be hearing an ad about that. You can get 10% off there down at Anna. They're doing a great job of trying to get the best and cleanest products in the nutrition world into our hands. And so they're doing that curating work of trying to get the best stuff and getting it in store. And you can get that there or online. So check out Rise Nutrition, and you can get that for 10% off with Shepherds 10. You want to check that out. And then just as a reminder, go ahead and get on the Shepherd's Crook podcast, or not Shepherd's Crook, Sons and Slice podcast and Fruitful and Fearless podcast. Now, I'm in here live in studio with Bill Smith, and we're going to talk about getting strong. So, Bill, are you good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Is this the second or third time? We've talked a few times, I think.
I think it's the second time.
Yeah. You think it was COVID stuff?
It was COVID stuff first time. We're talking about liberty of conscience.
That's what it was. Yeah. Did I ever tell you that the pastor in town that wrote the letter, He wrote a letter on Facebook, an open letter on Facebook, if you remember that, saying, oh, the pastors should shut their churches down, all this kind of stuff. And we have called each other. I called him, and we yelled at each other in the backyard. And this is about the time when we recorded.
Yeah.
And I was mowing, and so it had to have been like April, May or something like that, because I think everything locked down in March. So a year later, he sent me this email, and he totally repented about everything.
Oh,
sorry.
Excellent.
I was wrong. You were right. Shouldn't have done that. It was awesome.
That's what I hear.
I know, it was vindicated.
And we want more people do that.
Yeah, I think I do that. Let's pray, and then we'll hear a backstory. Just want to hear a little bit about, you said that you haven't always been, you know, in the gym and working out and strong, and this is actually going to be staying strong into your 50s, and you're now in your, well,
mid-50s.
So you're not a lady. You don't care about that.
That's
right. You say your age. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right. Okay, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. I thank you for a brother and a friend. That's from blessing upon this conversation, and for guys out there that are working out, God, I pray that they'd have a proper perspective on it. They wouldn't get weird about it or anything, but they would continue to get strong for the right reasons, and that would affect the health of their family as well, for the things that they can control anyways. We know that you're sovereign over our bodies and our family and our life, but also for the guys out there that haven't been in shape and are struggling, that do struggle just to do the normal things of life, that you would help them to get strong and get motivated, and maybe this might play a small part in that. So just help us, I trust you will. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know.
All right, so you have been working out for a long time now, but you said it hadn't always been that way.
No, it hadn't. I mean, when I was in high school, played football, got into lifting weights. Nobody really taught me how to do it right, but we did lift a little bit. College, got away from it. Then in seminary, just completely left it, got really overweight.
Okay.
I was about, I'm about 6'1", but I was about 265. No muscle. Oh, I was stronger, but I didn't have a lot of muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And back then, I had a kind of a dualistic type thinking, almost Gnostic type thinking about the body and the creation as a whole. But
you were Baptist back then.
I was Baptist back then. I wasn't going to bring that up. But anyway.
You just have to at least one.
Yeah, you have to at least one. Yeah. And my theology started changing. And it wasn't just Presbyterianism. I mean, that's, of course, that was part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a whole view on creation, God's plan for it, God, you know, the goodness of it. And I was preaching through the Ten Commandments. And came on this sixth commandment, Thomas Watson. I was reading his book, The Ten Commandments.
Yeah.
And Watson said he had a line in there that said, some men dig their graves with their teeth.
Okay.
And so he was talking about self-murder and how that is a sin.
So appetite.
Appetite, overweight, not taking care of your body. You're killing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're just doing it slowly. Instead of just putting a gun to your head or taking a bunch of pills, you're just doing it slowly. And so, man, God just convicted me about my my lack of care for my body. And so I didn't know exactly what to do. I just knew I needed to lose weight. I lost a lot.
So mid-20s, you're near what?
Yeah.
25, 28?
Yeah. Yeah. 20, yeah, 25. Yeah, somewhere around there. Well, no, I was getting close to 30.
Okay.
Getting close to 30 and lost a bunch of weight, but doing it, you know, aerobically and diet, and it wasn't a great diet. We didn't have a lot of, I know I'm only 55, but we didn't have a lot of the nutritional stuff that you can find just everywhere online.
It's all vegetable oil, height of all that.
Yeah, seed oil, soy,
yeah,
all this kind of stuff. Everything.
Butter's bad.
Yeah.
Margarine's good.
That's right. All that kind of stuff. But I was losing weight, and I went from like 265 to 200. Still wasn't in great shape, but at least I lost a lot of the fat. Children started coming along, and when I was 25, 26 years old, I lost all that weight. And then later in my 30s, the boys started getting older. I had three boys. I've had four boys and two girls. My oldest three are boys. And so they started getting older. So we tried to find things to do together.
Okay.
I grew up hunting and fishing. We had moved to the city. We moved to Louisville, Kentucky. And hunting, when I grew up deep country. Walk out my back.
Where was that?
Down in Southwest Louisiana.
Okay.
And moving to Louisville, hunting and fishing was just too hard. I mean, too much cost.
Okay.
And so I started trying to find things for us to do together. And got the boys in team sports, realized these are great. We love team sports, but it was just too much on our family to have all these boys. We were gone six nights a week. Couldn't keep up.
Can we do a quick rabbit trail?
Sure.
So how do you counsel families now that you've been through that with sports? Because we don't have a major sports problem in our church, but already that tension is there. And we've just said, you can play one sport a year. That's it. And we didn't do baseball this year.
Yeah.
We only did basketball. We're not doing it every season. So what do you end up?
I'm sorry. That it became hard on the entire family for each boy to be in a sport. Even we were just doing baseball. And for the entire season, excuse me.
Sorry.
For the entire season, I mean, we were just gone every night.
Mm-hmm.
Practice games. And
it's awful.
Yeah. And
nobody likes that.
I know.
It's awful.
And so we said, I can't complete the mission of my family, which includes, you know, worship and getting them, you know, school and everything else that needs to be done, because we're just way out of balance. This isn't proportionate to the rest of the activities that we need to do.
Yeah.
And so we cut them out, but I said, we're not going to cut out physical stuff.
Okay.
So, and so that's where we started saying, okay, what do we need to do? And in Louisville, we joined the YMCA, which was very inexpensive for a family. And we didn't have a lot of money. So that was very cost effective.
Mm-hmm.
And had things for everybody. they had karate classes. They had, you know, stuff during the summer, water park, they had a weight room.
Mm-hmm.
They had Olympic swimming pool. And so got my boys into swimming laps at first just to try to, and that was their homeschool PE.
Yeah, that's great.
And then we got into weightlifting. And young boys picking up heavy things, competing with one another.
That's good.
It's a win.
Half they're all like a year apart from each other?
18 months to 2.5 years.
Okay. Enough to be competitive.
Yeah, enough to be competitive. And the benefit of that, one of the benefits of that, was that they had something year-round.
Okay.
Which was not dependent upon the weather. They could go to the gym,
mm-hmm.
and they still do. My oldest, actually, because he started lifting weights, his undergrad degree was in exercise science, and then he became a physical therapist. He's doing other things now, but that's one of the things he did. So they really took to it. The others are still working out,
okay,
and to some one degree or another. Some of them are a little more rabid than the others, but so it set up patterns in their lives. It set up disciplines in their lives so that they could take care of themselves.
Okay,
and then also there's just motivation. I mean, how much can you bench press? How much can you deadlift? How much can you squat?
Mm-hmm.
Guys in the gym, you know, you're getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting stronger. I can see that because guys in the gym notice one another.
Yeah,
you know, right. Especially because if you're working out on a schedule, you're seeing pretty much the same guys every day.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a home gym, now some guys do. But we were going like to this public gym. We also made connections with people,
mm-hmm.
in the community, which was good.
Yeah, that's great.
But so they started lifting then. We all started lifting then, and it also became a thing for fathers and sons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
they're trying to catch up to you.
They're trying to catch up. And in fact, what happened was my oldest son, being in exercise science, around 21, he was getting married. And I told him, I said, all right, because I was 45 at that time. I said, if you can give me a workout so I can get my bench up to 450 or over 400.
Okay.
Nice. I said, he said, I want you to do my wedding. And I get emotional with my kids, weddings, things like that. And I said,
you are a highly emotive guy. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wearing your emotions in.
Yeah, that's right. Only in those types of situations with doing weddings for my children. But he said, okay. And he gave me a workout. Of course, it was a killer workout. It was probably 2 hours a day.
Okay.
For 5 days a week. And yeah, I got it. When I was 46, I hit 415 on the bench. And I said, I'll do your wedding. And so, but he at that time he was 180 pounds. He was deadlifting 585.
Man,
my second son, he got up to 700 pounds deadlift.
Man,
and so I mean they went a little crazy.
Yeah,
but for my sons, and this is I think important too, is I told him, I said, you know, we have strong emphasis on work, period. Okay, whether you're working a job or you're working out, whatever.
Right.
I said, as a teenager, you've got a lot of hormones raging, and you need to focus those. They don't need to be sitting around in front of a screen all the time.
Yeah.
Because that's going to cause trouble. You don't need to be bored. I said, I want you, when you come in the evenings, to drop in your bed and go to sleep. And so take it all out in the weight room. You know,
it's good.
Just work hard. And when you get married, that's going to back off. Yeah, I understand that. You know, that's fine. I said, but right now, you got the time.
Yeah.
You know, get big, get strong, that focus your energy and use it up so that you don't have any to do all the others. So we, you know, over this time, I was with them. I was working out with them, and I did get bigger. I got stronger during my late 30s and my 40s. Yeah, that was my 40s were really the peak time. And so
did you experience, as you went got to the later part of your 40s, did you maintain pretty well all the way through there?
Well, actually, one of the things I consciously dropped off.
Okay.
Because when I hit that bench press max for me, I realized, you know, this is really heavy.
Right.
And when you do a one rep max, it's hard on your joints.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I don't do anything below 5 reps.
Okay.
But here's the thing too. We're just kind of talking, and so my thoughts are going all over the place with weightlifting, because this is a big discussion in our family.
Gotcha.
You know, so this is what we talk about. But with the with working out, whether you're in your 40s, your 50s, or whatever, it's good to have somebody who knows what he's doing to help you, to train you. You know, you also have to understand that everybody has a different philosophy. You know, in Louisiana, it's said, you know, if you get 3 Cajuns together, they're going to have 4 recipes for gumbo. It's just the way it is. You get 3 weightlifters together, and they're going to have 4 weights.
Yeah. And it probably all works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because that's one of the things, is that you need to be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you always need to have good form, or you're going to tear something up.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to have somebody helping you with your form, because if you do things wrong, you can really mess up shoulder, knee, back, you know, whatever. And so if you want to lift long term, you're going to need good form.
Yeah.
And so having somebody there to help you with that is very important. But the rep range and all that kind of stuff varies from a lot of people. You know, I follow a lot of people online with this, and especially guys like over 50.
Okay.
And some of them, 8 to 12 reps, that's what you need to be doing. Some of them don't do deadlifts anymore because that's too much risk of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them, no, you gotta do deadlifts. You know, you got the Mark Ricketos.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, that kind of stuff. Matt Reynolds, I'm sure.
There was Matt. Shout out to Parallel Logic here.
Yeah, that's right.
Shit online.
That's right. Yeah. BarbellLogic.com. No. And so, you know, you want to have good form, and that's important, but you've got to do what's good for your body. And that's mm-hmm. the other thing about weightlifting, fitness, all these things. Every body is different.
Yeah.
And so you have to figure it out. There are some things, you get the basic principles, and then you have to start figuring it out. Okay. Mm-hmm. A guy on a lot of gear that, you know, like TRT and D-ball, all this kind of stuff, tramp and all this kind of stuff, you know, he's going to tell you, well, you know, all you have to do is this. It's like, oh, okay. And you could walk across the gym and he'd gain 2 inches.
Yeah,
5.
That's right. That's right.
Because you're on all this stuff. You know, so if you're natty, you know, you're not going to grow like he is.
Yeah, exactly.
However, you do need to figure out kind of, you work the major muscle groups.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I do is, I work out now, is a mix of power, and then also, which helps with mobility.
Okay.
As I get older, and keeps everything functioning.
Mm-hmm.
But then also working high rep stuff with size, to keep a lot of muscle mass. I know you can do that with low reps as well,
mm-hmm.
but you want fast twitch, slow twitch muscles, all those, everything worked. So I do a mix, and it's working for me.
Good.
And that's what I had to figure out.
So the difference from person to person and how they respond, I think it's really evident. So I've never been naturally strong. I've always just been a thin guy, but really not that strong. I mean, even with the working out for the last 2 years, I've got to where I plateaued pretty quick, and then it's hard for me to break through a lot of those plateaus. And then Zach, he's a friend of ours that we won't talk much about, but the fact that he could I could not see him for 6 months, and then he exploded. It's just unbelievable how fast. I don't know if he was juicing or doing, or if he was natty or what. I mean, look at that. He was huge.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, how, you know, some guys get like that really quick, and then other guys. And I think, you know, if you're trying to get big really, really quick and want really fast results, you're probably not going to be in it for the long haul.
Right.
And either you're going to injure yourself or you're going to burn yourself out. And in my mind, I'm trying to be 55 like you, and still wanting to be at the gym, still enjoying being
yeah.
strong, and hopefully stronger at 55 than I am right now.
Yeah.
And I think that has to, it's a mindset thing where you're committed to working hard. Not saying being, you know, in the gym and giving a half effort. I'm saying, you know, give it 100%, work out hard with whatever program you have. But I'm also, you know, being realistic with results here.
Right.
I'm probably never going to be a guy that's bench pressing 450 yeah. pounds, you know, but if I could get to putting up 265
yeah.
in 3 or 4 years from now, I'd be pretty happy with that.
Well, and that is the thing too. I know this is, sounds like a kid coming from 55-year-old, but you got to do you. I mean, you've got to think about who you are, body types.
Right.
Even with my children, and the son I told you, who deadlifted 700 pounds, he's a different type. He's a different body type than two of my other sons.
Okay.
Who are very thin built.
Mm-hmm.
And
you said one was 180?
Yeah, one was 180. This son is now 235, and he's 5'10".
Okay.
You know, and so it's, and then I've got a son, my youngest son, the baby son mm-hmm. is about 6'2", 255.
Man,
and
it's a monster.
I'm
surprised the football team here in town had to track them down.
He is an absolute monster. He used to work at Legacy Gym here.
Okay.
And he, you know, he's strong as an ox and all that kind of stuff, but he's built more like me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other three sons are not built like me. It's just genetics, and so genetics have a lot to do with a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also, I mean, diet has a lot to do with this, and staying strong into your 50s. I know, and by the way, you know, I know this is. I have a good face for radio or for podcast, so you can't see me here by video. It's not like I got a 6-pack abs or something like that. That's not my aim. I told our church leadership the other day. I said, when people look at me, I want them to think, oh, the guy works out, but he won't pass up a donut.
Mm.
You know, I enjoy life, but I don't want to get really big, fat, and obese. You know,
yeah, kind of thing. Right.
Powerlifters, you know, tend to be fatter,
mm-hmm.
you know, world's strongest
yeah.
man, and speaking of Matt Reynolds,
mm-hmm.
you know, they tend to get really big because that's how you got to eat the calories.
Yeah, right.
But as you get older, you don't want to carry around all that fat. And men gain visceral fat first around their organs, so it's not that's not healthy.
Yeah,
it's not good. Get around your heart. But you know, watching macros and things like that are important, and the whole 1 gram of protein or 1.2 grams of protein per body, a pound of body weight.
Yeah, I'm trying to get 200, Matt's like, man, yeah. You need to eat 200 grams of protein a day.
Absolutely.
Like,
and and lean. Well, and that's the thing too, the macro, I don't want to call it diet, but it's tracing your macros, things like that. If you're eating no less than 2 hours, no more than 4 hours apart, you can speed up your metabolism, and it starts burning it. And you're also just constantly feeding and not overfeeding
mm-hmm.
your body.
Okay.
And so that's one of the things that I've done, and trying to get the protein in, of course. But and this is, again, what works for you as far as your diet. A lot of guys, you know, carnivore, that's what they want to do, that kind of thing. I'm not a huge fan of and I consider that a fad. I'm sorry for anybody who's listening who's on carnivore.
Jordan Peterson is a regular
yeah.
listener of mine.
Yeah, exactly. Emmett Haley is. And it may work for them for the purposes that they, you know, for inflammation and things like that.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about Rise Nutrition. It's located in Anna, Illinois, right here in Southern Illinois. Their mission is to empower the community through wellness. They do this through providing clean supplements and education. Rise provides monthly education seminars about a variety of topics, from how to build macros, the best pre-workout for fitness goals, what vitamins to take as we get older, and so much more. For the local listeners, they have a full-time nutritionist on site, and that's something that no other supplement store is doing in Southern Illinois. They also have fresh fruit smoothies that are made with clean products. For the non-locals, it can be hard to find clean supplements. The crew at Rise Nutrition can help you get the best and the cleanest stuff to help you get strong. Stop buying from the other guys and go to risenutrition.shop and use the coupon code SHEPHERDS10 for 10% off online or in-store. On another note, two of our elders train at Rise Performance Gym with our good buddy, preacher man, Joey Hawkins. So if you are looking for a gym, head on over to Rise.
God gave cards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus has eaten bread at the Lord's Supper. So that's, you know, and fruit was one of the first things God gave them man to eat. So I don't have a problem with that. I think the right kind of carbs and a good, healthy, balanced diet is good. And it carbs actually help you with muscle growth and things like that too, and feed you right before workouts and stuff like that. Good stuff. So balancing all those things is very important, and keeping and eating right as you get older is extremely important. But you can still eat. I mean, I can eat a lot. And eating lean protein, you know, your fish, red meat.
Yep.
Good red meat. Lots of chicken, stuff like that. Those are good things to keep you keep your muscles fed.
Yeah,
but you have to work them, and you have to work.
I've gotten a quarter of cow last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah,
and I just got a call from Triple C today, so it's gonna be done here in the next couple of weeks. But we just put on our cut sheet, and so we're getting all our meat back, and that's good. About a month ago, I was wanting to get some more protein, so I just put a pound of. And literally just ground beef in a pan and put some taco seasoning on it and threw a couple eggs on top. I got about 150 grams of protein.
There you go.
In one meal there. It was pretty good. In a couple months, I'm going to be talking, you might know this name, Dr. Jim Orrick.
I do.
Fair, because he was around Louisville when you were there. And I've got a friend of mine that's been mentored by him for years. And there's a group of pastors that go down, younger guys, and Jim is a kind of an outdoors guy. And have you heard about this group or know about this?
No, I don't know about the group. I know about his bench press.
Okay. You know about his bench press, though. Okay. Because he's probably 10 years older. He's mid-60s, something like that. So he's a monster still. And one of the things they do down there, he's got a cabin, and he does a yearly pastor's retreat with a group of about six guys. And they all go down there, and, you know, Jim's a hunter and all this kind of stuff. And Ted and Jim, to call him Jim like I know him, but Dr. Orr, does this. And because he used to pastor up at Nine Mile Baptist Church in, wherever that's at, an hour north.
I was here
before he went to Southern. Well, with all these young guys there, they've been doing this competition. So it's a body weight bench press competition. He wins every year. And all these guys. How many reps you can do of your body weight. And all these guys have been trying to keep up. Well, Mark Goldman is my good buddy at First Baptist over in Heron. And he was only a couple reps away from finally getting him. And he's been working on this for years. You know, Mark's like 42 or 43.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dr. Works in his. So he's a monster. So you can, you know, he's an example of this, of being able to stay. You know, your example of this 10 years younger. So how has it changed then from. You know, everybody's saying, well, even now I've had people telling me, like, you probably shouldn't be deadlifting. You're 40 now. And, like, I'm 40, but, I mean, I'm not that old. And I've got our last son was just born, and I'm 40 years old. We might have more, but I'm 40 with him. And I really would like to be a 60. I'd like to be able to, you know, still rough him up a little bit, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It
can be done. I mean, that's the thing. And you have to work smart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just can't. I don't work out 2.5 hours a day now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't lift everything heavy. I have backed off in some things, but for instance, but still, you know, 55, my bench press, my working weight on bench press, that's one of my power lifts. Mm-hmm. I do bench, dead, squat, and then dumbbell press for shoulders as a heavyweight.
Okay.
And I'm still working 315 for five on my bench press. So it's not like, well, you just got to lay down and die because you're 50.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard of guys going 500 at 50. You know, I'm going to get 500 pounds at 50 on the bench. It can be done. Now, I will say, you know, there are other factors. And I think these need to be taken into consideration. I think sometimes that when we've talked about, or I mentioned being a natty, being a natural, and some guys are kind of leery of getting hormones checked and things like that. I think as you get older, you do need to get those things checked.
Yeah.
That's an important thing. And if you do need a boost in your testosterone or whatever, don't be embarrassed to go ahead and get that, because there are lots of environmental factors that are going into men's testosterone going down.
Yeah.
And interestingly, I read an article a long time ago, maybe a year ago, by Erin Brockovich.
Okay.
Of movie.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah, Julia Roberts. And she was talking about the crisis in men's testosterone, and this investigative journalist, of course, and she's talking about the microplastics, you got the estrogen in the water because of the pill,
yep,
and all these types of things that are helping lower men's testosterone, and so there's a lot of things we can't change. We can get off the seed oils and all those types of things.
And a burgundy water filter.
Yeah.
Got a burgundy filter.
No, I don't have one, but I do want one.
Yeah. They're like $1 million now.
Yeah. And it's
like, here's that. For years, I used Biden bucks to do that. So the Biden came in, I was like, all right, I'm getting an AR and I'm getting a burgundy water filter.
I didn't get an AR and I built a porch.
Okay. No, wait a minute. I didn't. You didn't hear that. I didn't. That's a gang that shall not be named in Illinois. I did get a Berkey, though.
That's it. Yeah, you get that. But I don't think you need to be embarrassed to go and say, hey, I need this. And, you know, it's okay to do that. Now, the good thing about if you start early enough lifting, unless you have some type of autoimmune disease or something like that, that really, that's happened as I've gotten older, is I've become more understanding of a lot of things that could go wrong with people.
Okay.
Even if they're young, autoimmune disease, all these types of things. Unless you have some type of autoimmune disease, or something physiologically wrong, that keeps you from producing pituitary gland, your testicles, whatever, that are a problem, weightlifting can help boost your testosterone.
Good.
And it works to do that. So that's one way to keep your testosterone up. And which is, I know a lot of guys say, well, yeah, testosterone, you know, high T, because everybody just wants to get big. It affects your thinking. It affects your heart health. It affects a lot of things. You want to keep that up.
Yeah.
Whether it's through some type of treatment or, you know, if you could do it naturally. So that's extremely important. I'm not talking about going crazy. When I did talk to Matt, and sorry, Matt's come up several times, he was telling me about the strongman competition and bodybuilders and taking, somewhere between 10 to 20,000 milligrams of test a week.
Oh, wow.
And that's just insane. I mean, when you realize that the average guy probably, if he goes in, probably taking 200 milligrams.
Okay. Wow.
So that's, yeah, it's a lot. You're not talking about that. You're talking about keeping things at healthy levels, you know, within a certain range so that you feel good. You know, it's not just about vanity. And so, again, that goes to what I think you were talking about at the beginning and even praying for, is that this isn't, it is nice. Don't get me wrong. It's nice to have a good physique. It's nice. Your wife tends to like it a lot better, and there's nothing wrong with that. But this isn't about vanity. You know, this isn't about standing and preening in front of the mirrors at the gym like a teenage girl, you know, putting everything on IG and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's about mobility. It's about keeping joints healthy, keeping bone density.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are important to as you age. You're going to lose muscle mass as you get older.
Yeah.
And you need to have something to lose so that you don't drop off into complete atrophy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because I think for most guys, we live in a world that has, it demands less of men than ever before.
Yeah.
I mean, less physical labor for ladies than ever before as well. So you have to go looking for it.
Yes.
If you're going to be stronger than the average man, you have to go to the gym. You have to do something. And, or you're going to be either very skinny and weak if you have the rare genetic, you know, lineage that makes you a skinny guy.
Yeah.
Or most likely you're just going to be like majority of guys in America right now. So in the latest statistics, there was a Tucker interview with Callie and I forget their name. She was a Stanford trained surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And started asking questions I don't want to just do a surgery. I want to understand why I'm doing the surgery. And it brought her down a rabbit hole. She immediately quit being a surgeon. And her and her brother, who's a lawyer, have been fighting against pharma and the FDA.
Wow.
And have been informing people, and they were just on Tucker. It was phenomenal. It was really good.
Interesting.
But she had all this data on just health statistics of differing age groups in the country. It's mind-blowing how unhealthy we are.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things you mentioned about the fact that we have to go looking for the labor.
Mm-hmm.
And a long time ago, I wrote an article about this, and it was about the basically theology of theology of exercise or theology of physical labor. Because one of the things God tells us in Genesis is that, you know, man was made from the dirt. The dirt, just a brief overview. I mean, the dirt becomes a garden, and you know, to have a garden, to make it fruitful, you got to tear it up. You got to plant seeds. You got to do these things. Well, it's interesting the correlation between the human body and dirt in that way, because the way you grow muscles is micro tears.
Mm-hmm.
You tear it up.
Yeah.
Now you can overdo it. And you can really hurt yourself. You ever see these videos with these guys tearing their pec muscle or something like with, or the quadriceps rolling up in their face.
Yeah.
That's awful. But your body has to be, your muscles have to be torn. There's death before resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the, it's built into it. Every cell in our body, the gospel is. And so, and I'm not trying to make this, you know, okay, now this is spiritual type
thing. Yeah,
this whole thing is spiritual in that way, but we were made to work.
Mm-hmm.
We were made, our bodies were made to do physical labor. And if we don't, we're going to get weak and sickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we are living in a society where, thank the Lord, technology has taken us to a place where we can increase our productivity in a lot of areas,
mm-hmm.
but we become sedentary.
Yeah.
And
you have a stand-up desk, man.
Yeah, I do have a stand-up desk. But like you said, you have to go looking for the work. So we have to take basically, you know, 8 to 10 hours of work, a labor a day, put it into 1 hour in the gym,
mm-hmm.
and really concentrate that.
Yeah.
Right. And so, I consider my workout part of my work day, so to speak. It's not, that's my free time and I go work out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's part of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I have that luxury, so to speak, as a pastor, but also know companies that are seeing the benefits of their people working out, paying for gym memberships, things like that, because they think clearer, they're healthier, they're awake during the day, things like that. So this needs to be a part of your lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not something you do, but your body needs this.
The unique thing for pastors in thinking through what Bill just said, you know, we are what we do. I mean, there is distinction. Certainly, you take yourself out of work when you're at home. But with pastoral ministry, you are a pastor.
Right.
That's who you are.
We don't have hours.
Yeah, you don't have hours. And a part of being a pastor is you got to be a healthy man.
Yes.
There was a study out of BTS years ago. There was a guy that was the best of the best of the 90s men's ministries guys. There's Steve Farrar.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So if you're sapped to pick, well, who's the best 90s men's ministry guy? He would be my pick. And basically nobody else would be on the list. But I like him. He was a dispensational guy that quoted Puritans all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, you got some things you got to throw out.
But right.
He wrote a book called Finishing Well, Finishing Strong, Finishing Something, just Finish Well.
Yeah.
He quoted the study and made some comments about it. So Howard Hendricks did this study of 380-something guys that had moral failures. And there were four common denominators. I always forget the fourth. But the number one was the pastor had neglected spiritual disciplines.
Mm-hmm.
Second was he had no accountability.
Mm-hmm.
The third was he spent a bunch of time with women that weren't his wife.
Right.
Shocker. They end up failing.
Yep.
But the point is, it's simple things that take a man out. Preventable, yes. Highly preventable things. And it's also things like physical fitness. It's a huge part of being a healthy man.
It is. And a lot of some people may think, well, you're just being selfish, going to work out, things like that. You're trying to take time. And that's your time, all that kind of stuff. No, I'm investing long term because I know this isn't the panacea. It's not the cure all to everything. I could drop dead tomorrow. My days are numbered. All those things. This isn't
health in the end is not in our hands.
Exactly.
Yeah.
However, I want to do everything I can to keep my family from having to pay medical bills in the future.
Yeah.
Things like that. And I want to stay healthy as long as I can, so that that's not a burden on them, so that I can play with my grandchildren, mm-hmm. so that they're not having to come visit me, you know, in a hospital somewhere.
Yeah. My thought is, and this is kind of some goals long term, when my kids are older, being able to have a grandchild that is 15 or 18 years old, and I'm well into my 60s, and they want to go on an elk hunt in Colorado.
Yeah.
And they're able to say, we should bring grandpa.
Yeah.
And I feel like, sign me up.
Yeah.
But I've been waiting for 40 years.
Well, and, you know, also, you talk about pastors, and it is an absolute embarrassment that the stereotypical pastor is this fat guy,
mm-hmm.
who looks like all he does is eat KFC, mm-hmm. you know. And when we stand up and we are supposed to be preaching things about discipline,
mm-hmm.
And I realize, and we can talk about, you know, you could talk about thyroid issues, and I know that a lot of people have a lot of issues, and I'm sympathetic to that. However, a lot of us don't have those issues. We're lazy, and we don't want to be disciplined.
Well, I think that discipline, I talked about this a while back, some of you guys may remember this, but I talked about having a well-ordered, disciplined life, because discipline has to be disciplined, because most guys are highly disciplined at some area.
Right.
But then kind of being a, for lack of a better term, being a broadly disciplined man and claiming more ground that is chaotic in your life and wrapping that up and saying, okay, now I'm getting control of this area of life. Because a lot of guys that are that pastor, you look at other areas of their life and you're like, man, I want to emulate that. But most guys that are fat pastors are disciplined men in some areas. And they're guys that you want to be like in some areas. And, you know, so I think when it comes to this idea of discipline, we have to gain ground in our life. And for some guys, for most pastors, the ground that has to be gained is over their eating and over their exercise or under manual labor. I've always said that pastoral ministry is blue collar work. It's not white collar work. And most pastors want it to be. And they want it to be high society. Certainly, we're in books, we're reading, I get it. But that's why I've always said mow your yard. I mean, even if you might outsource and pay somebody to mow your yard, no big deal. But the point is, do something.
Do something.
Do something.
Absolutely. And the whole thing, it's just that initial impression when you stand up in front of people and you're telling them you need to discipline your life, and it doesn't look at all like you're disciplined.
Yeah.
And they don't know how many books you've read. They don't know how disciplined you are in working through the Greek text or the Hebrew text or whatever. But they see you. And that's important because, again, we're not Gnostics. This is very visible.
Mm-hmm.
And I will we'll say this, sir, and since I can say just about anything I want in the podcast.
I don't have that bronchitis either, so you're good to go.
When you are disciplined like that, or when you do get stronger and it's evident, you have an immediate presence in a ring where people say, "I really need to listen to him."
Yeah.
Right. When I walk into the gym and I want to know how to do something, I don't go to the guy who looks like a piece of spaghetti.
You're not coming to me for advice.
I go to the guy who's jacked.
Yeah.
And I say, what do you do?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, what do you do? Can you help me with my form? Can you, you know, do the, what do you do to build your legs like that? Kind of thing. And because he's done it.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it. He's disciplined his life. Now, what you're saying about discipline in one area of life is important as well, because you can be disciplined in this area of life where you are just focused only on this. You're like,
right, there's highly
disciplined. Sulek.
Yeah.
And who's, you know, just huge. But this is probably the only area of life he's really disciplined. But his eating, of course, he has to be disciplined, all this, but everything else is probably just all messed up.
Right. It's like the David Goggins of the world. They've had three or four marriages.
Yes.
They're highly disciplined in one area.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you know, Goggins is as tough-minded as anybody in the world, but he can't maintain a normal life.
Yeah.
And so that's being disciplined in only one area of life is not good.
So let's just wrap this up by just saying this. The big warning is, or the big call here would be for guys to get, majority of people listening need to get stronger.
Maybe
get in the gym. There's a small group of guys that are listening and they're like, oh, sweet, I want to listen to this. And there's a small group that is out of balance where bodily training is of some value. The Bible says, and they hear that, and they hear body training is all value. And so talk people off the ledge of seeing it in a weird way, where that is the focus of their life to the neglect of other things.
Interesting. Yeah. Talk them off a ledge. You can't become obsessed with any one thing. You have various callings in your life. And this is, we talk about vocation, and usually that's used as what's your job?
Mm-hmm.
That is, how do you earn a paycheck? But the reality is we have a lot of vocations, because that word comes from a Latin word, which means calling. And I'm called to be a husband. I'm called to be a father. I'm called to be a pastor. I'm called to take care of my body. I'm called to do this. And I need vocational harmony. I've got to discipline all these areas of life, which means that they all have to be in proportion to one another. So I can't spend 8 hours in the gym and neglect my wife.
Right.
I can't spend all my time with my wife and neglect my pastoring.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be a harmony between all my callings. And so I have to work it out and cannot become obsessed with any one thing. The gym time has to be in proportion to my work time, has to be in proportion to my family time. It has to be a proportion to my rest time. Even if you're working out, I mean, depending on, I do a 4-day split right now, so I have 3 days of rest off the weights. I do other things. I do some cardio on those days. You have to have that kind of that proportion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have that kind of rest time. If you're not on a lot of gear, where you recover like in 5 minutes. So you even as you're working out, you're having to do that. But you really need that vocational harmony in all of life. And so everything needs to be taken care of well.
Yeah. So don't be like Goggins.
Don't be like Goggins.
Yeah.
He can't do everything well.
Yeah. That's good.
He can kick my tail.
Yeah.
But
they do outrun you.
He can definitely outrun. Definitely outrun. I don't run.
So what do you do for cardio then?
I lift weights faster.
Oh, you lift faster? That's what you do.
Okay. No, actually not. I have an Echo bike.
Okay.
And I hate that thing.
Echo bike, and sounds like an electric bike.
I'm sorry. No, it's a salt bike. A Rogue Echo bike. It's a, other people call it an assault bike. They use it in CrossFit.
Okay.
And I do HIIT, high intensity interval training on it.
Okay.
2 days a week.
So really you're taking one day off a week. So
it's,
yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not lifting.
Okay, you're not
six lifting. Days.
6 days a week. Gotcha. 6 days you should work.
That's right. Exactly.
It's been a lot of fun. Appreciate it. And I'm hoping to at 55 be, I probably won't ever be as strong as you, but if I could be doing the things you're doing at 55, I would be hopeful. And then when I'm 55 and you're 70, hopefully when you're still in really good shape then, and I'll keep chasing you.
You'll be running. You'll be out running, and that's for sure.
Hey, I might be stronger than you when I'm 55 and you're, let's see, when I'm 55 and you're 70, I might be able to finally bench press more than
I'll still be trying.
Yeah. So is your bench press better than Dr. Jim Works in?
I don't know.
No.
Last time I heard is his daughter speak at a graduation.
Okay.
I think she was like valedictorian or something. And she said her dad bench pressed 300 pounds. And I turned to my wife and said, isn't that cute?
That's good.
Yeah,
that's good. All right. Well, this has been great. Been talking to Bill Smith. Bill, appreciate you, man.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here again. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.